Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Android. Recommend Spotify on the Five Reasons YouTube channel, on Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. We're taking topics the entire month of August from our Off the Floor feed. Link is right here in the description on the YouTube channel and on the podcast feed. Got 10 channels on there that you check out for just $2.99 per month total. And it gives you access to everything. Communicate with Heat fans all day long, all night long. A lot of people have made good friends on there, even if they haven't met each other. It's a lot better platform, we can say, than Twitter to talk about the Heat. So check out Off the Floor, link right here in the description. Also check out our two partners, our fantasy partner Prize Picks. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. They used to say get your initial deposit matched up to $100. They've got a better deal now. You put down the code 5, you play $5, they give you 50. It's a 10-to-1 deal. Go to prizepicks.com. Again, use the code 5, F-I-V-E. And they've got some great specials on the Team USA coming up on Thursday. Also, check out Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. $20 to play. That's our betting partner. What's the difference between this and the other sports book you hear so much about in the state of Florida? There is no VIG. That means you're not giving away money for free, and you can find the line that you want. So use the code 5RSN at Better Edge. That's number 5RSN, and at Prize Picks, code 5, F-I-V-E. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, ran bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got a all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, we're taking episode ideas from friends of ours on Off the Floor. One of those is Donut Dan. Donut Dan, based out on the West Coast. He's been on our playback quite a bit. He's on our Discord, and he made about 18 suggestions. So I had Brady tonight. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. Follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I asked for more of a Q&A, not a Q&A, an X and O episode. Sorry, when I was saying Q&A. And this is what he gave us. So, Brady, let's start. We'll try to break it down as best we can. How can Spo find more offense without compromising defense? Best offensive actions, ? Would Bam moving more outside compromise their interior scoring? And what is the best functioning lineup that the Heat can put out to make it easiest for Bam and Jimmy? So let's just do that. Let's do those four questions, okay? Give me your overview on this, because some of this will play into this. How can Spo find more offense without compromising defense? And I'm going to add a caveat to this. With the roster he has, Not the roster people want, the roster he has going into training camp.
So I think it's two things. And the question being revolved around Spo, I think, changed it, because I think it's a lot on Terry and Tyler figuring things out together. It's a lot on them being efficient. I was even looking at just some regular efficiency stuff, just normal field goal percentage. And Heat were like in the bottom 9 or 10, just at normal efficiency last season. And part of that is because they were had so many guys in and out. But also, they just have to be a more efficient team altogether in the half court. Like that kind of strikes as like one thing. But I'll say in terms of Spo, of what he needs to really like be able to lean in a direction is honestly probably more scoring from the front court guys, where they don't have to lean always on guards at creation and them hitting threes on a certain night or hitting the pull-ups on a certain night where it's all on Terry and Tyler. Like a lot of it could change if a guy like Jaime Jaquez or Nikola Jovic becomes more of a scorer. And I think that it's more natural for Jaime. So I think it's probably that's the guy you look at and say, okay, that changes things a little bit if he starts to kind of look for a shot a little more. Because the offense looks different. It always has in the Jimmy era when they play inside out, when they play drive and kick, when they play that mindset. And I think a lot of it last season, a lot of the issues lied with the fact that they settled for a lot of perimeter shots. They didn't kind of demand things, I feel like, in a way. And part of that will be if Jimmy plays more this season, he's kind of what makes them run in that fashion. When he just puts the fear in opponents, the fact that he can put his shoulder down and get in the lane, it opens up guys kind of around him. So that allows Spo to kind of – then he can tinker with his defense and play certain styles. And maybe if you're able to have some of your bigger guys that are scoring more, you could play more of some of these guys down the line. And I don't know if it's like – let's just give an example. Like Jay Rich, when we were going through the rotations, like if he wants to play Jay Rich because he showed something in camp defensively that he can really do something at the point of attack or in a zone or in a press – if you have scoring from your wings and front court guys that you can really trust at a next level, that it's not all in the guards, you can do that. And it gives him more versatility to get into these other things. And then obviously, I guess the real kicker would be Ware, just because it opens up Bam offensively. And I know we've talked about Bam and Jovic, obviously, this for the last 2 months, just because they're the only guys we're watching playing. But Bam definitely, if he has that ability at times, I don't think we're going to see it a ton. But if Spo has the ability to do that, now he can get into his bag a little bit with things he can run for Bam. It's not as tied down with the certain sets he has to run for him because he's the five. No, if he can play off the perimeter and he can run different stuff, there's more opportunities for stuff that they're running with Team USA, like the inverted pick and roll stuff. He was running pick and rolls with AD at Team USA. So like they can kind of tinker, I guess, with that stuff. So I don't know. I as much as the scores are the backcourt, I think it really is the front court is kind of the difference maker.
Well, what's interesting, we talk about Spo and adjusting to more offense, and I understand that his defenses have typically been better than his offenses since he became head coach, and it hasn't really been close. But he has designed certain offenses for certain groups. I mean, the big three, you know, kind of became pace and space, but a lot of their offense was off of transition. It was actually off of their defense. He would call them skirmishes. They would get out on the break, and because they had LeBron and Dwayne, they didn't look like other Heat teams have looked in transition. Then you look at the Dragic Waiters team, the 16-17 team. That team was all drive and kick. It was all driving. That 7-11 offense with Waiters and Dragic, it was just get in the lane, spray it out to shooters. I will say that it was interesting that Spo said at his end of season press conference, we kind of had three different offensive philosophies. We talked a lot about what those were. It seemed like they had three because they had none. Like they just didn't have anybody consistent in there. And, you know, they're trying to play three different ways. We know the dribble handoff stuff with Duncan and Bam. Obviously, there's a Jimmy offense in there. What did you think was the third one, by the way?
Probably the pull-up stuff, I would say. Okay. I mean, I think it's there's the bracket of like the Jimmy Jaquez Bam offense where they would run in the mid post, and then there's the pull up offense, and then there's the stuff where I guess where Bam is more of like a hub, as you're talking about, like the handoff stuff and all the stuff that they generate out of that. But to your point, like you're when you bring up previous Heat teams, I think the issue is when you look at this roster is like there's not one theory, there's not one game plan you could really pin down and say, okay, this team does this. So like he kind of has to be in so many different directions. And also, how do you have one offensive philosophy when you didn't know what guy was going to play on a given night? It's impossible.
Right.
And I think even if they were healthy to that point, I don't think you could pin down one specific offensive philosophy with this current roster. I think they kind of are. It's a wild card offense. It's like what you're getting on a certain night from certain guys who pops. So that's the interesting part about it. Like that's why he ultimately, I think, with a roster like this, always does go back to the defense, and it's going to be harder to do this season. Like, that's the key here. Like, I know we're talking about offense, but the defense might be problematic. Like, there might be times because they lost Caleb, obviously, but it's more so the fact that they're forced to play the offensive players. They're forced to play these certain guys. It's going to be tough. It's going to be much tougher, and as many people have talked about, like, the defense last year was a little skeptical, even though they were kind of high in defensive rating. It was kind of just a little strange at times that it put a lot of pressure on Bam, and that's why people want a different look with them going bigger. But the point is that they're going to have to lean offense we've had the lean offense pod in the offseason for 6 straight years, it feels like. But this one feels like a year where they kind of have to just linger through different things throughout the season and just find what clicks, which is crazy for a team that's bringing back the same guys. Like, usually we're talking about tinkering with offenses when it's new guys, right?
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I mean, we've talked so much about the offensive fit with Bam and Jimmy and how that works. All right, before the break, I want to ask this question, but I want to phrase it a little differently than our friend Donut Dan phrased it. The question he asked was best offensive actions, ? Let me ask you this. Step back for a second, okay? And so much of this is personnel. Do you think Spo is creative enough offensively? We know he's creative enough defensively, because all the junk defenses that they throw out, the zones, all that kind of stuff. Do you watch other coaches and say that guy does more offensively in terms of changing things up and innovating? I'm asking in part because we've talked a lot about Kerr during this, and one of Steve's strengths is, and again, it's helped to have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson for years, but like one of his strengths has been to kind of change up offenses. A lot of read and react type stuff that's not scripted that's in their offense. But do you ever watch other coaches be like, I wish Spo would try that?
I'll say this. I kind of feel like Spo is Jimmy for coaches, where like he has it in his bag when he gets to the playoffs. We've seen it year after year that when it comes down to it, and I think about different series, like the Milwaukee series of 2023, where he like, it was a masterclass of coaching, like the different adjustments he made along the way. It wasn't just Jimmy going insane. It was also him making adjustments. Like, you don't know what happens if that series goes back to game six. The adjustments he made in that game five, where he used Bam as a playmaker because the Bucks were pretty much saying, we're just going to bet on packing the paint, not letting Jimmy get down there, and just loading up with Brook Lopez and Giannis. And he changed that all up. They ran high-low actions, and they were able to get it done. And it's just – defensively, even I guess in that the Knicks series and on, the adjustments I don't think are in the creativity is never, I don't feel like, been the problem. I just think it's he holds back, I think, at certain points in the regular season, much like Jimmy does, because he doesn't want to throw it all out there. It's almost like saving himself in a way, whereas other coaches I don't think care. Like, kind of like with the way they deal with like media stuff, where like they're very tied down, like nothing comes out of the Miami Heat's organization, like everything is within those walls and stuff leaks from other teams. I think it's the same thing with a coaching philosophy. I think that they just he just does not want to show his cards at any given moment, even if it means like winning a couple extra regular season games. But that's the thing. When I look at other coaches, like Steve Kerr could do it in those years when Golden State was Golden State, because they had the talent that it didn't matter if teams saw their actions and everything. You know, like that's kind of the issue, is like I think he knows that the difference maker with this team could be his coaching at the end of the day, and he has to kind of save it. Like, he has to get to that point in the season and utilize it, that he doesn't have the ability to say, okay, we have Steph Curry and two of the greatest shooters and Kevin Durant, and we could just get it done. So that's the balance. It really is. That's the tough question. It's not like, okay, Spo doesn't know when everybody criticizes him on a random Tuesday night against Charlotte, and they're like, what is he doing? I think in the back of his head at times, he's like, all right, do I go to this and show it all in a meaningless – I don't want to say meaningless, but in a random regular season game? Or do I just kind of play our usual offense and we kick this down the road a little bit? I don't know. I think that it's kind of a Jimmy mentality.
Well, and then he'll pull an ATO out, for those who don't know, an after timeout play. He'll pull an ATO out from like 8 years ago randomly, and he has this kind of recall for it. But I wonder if the philosophy on that will change at all if there is going to be more of a focus on the regular season. I mean, we talk about availability. Maybe all the cards in Eric Spoelstra's deck need to be available too, because we've seen, like, you lose a game or two, it puts you in the play-in. I mean, that's and the top of the East is more competitive this year. The bottom of the East is not, but the top of the East is more competitive this year. And we've counted six or seven teams that may have better rosters on paper. May, again, I'm not saying definitely, but may. And if that's the case, you may need Eric Spoelstra to steal you a game in you know, March on a Tuesday night. Like, that just might be the direction that it needs to go.
And here's the thing. I think he's looking at this roster and kind of saying, if the roster is repetitive, he can't be repetitive. So right. He kind of is forced to do it in the regular season more just for that reason. Because if he goes out and runs the same stuff he did last year where it gets repetitive, I think he could lose the mindset of a couple guys in that locker room where I think it would get stale pretty quickly. And if you have the same guys around in that locker room and you change up the juice a little bit, and you run, and it's kind of like a new look team at times where you're kind of not a repetitive group, that could change some things. So I think that is definitely probably something that they're going to have to think about. Like that changes the vibe of a group. If there's just something new, that's why we always talk about trades at the trade deadline. Sometimes just getting something new in the building.
Well, they'll say they put a lot new in the building and question the whole idea of running it back or running it back harder or whatever it is we want to say. All right, when we come back, we got two more questions here. So we will get to these again. We appreciate our folks on Off the Floor. We're trying to get through our next week, by the way. We're starting, this is going to be the 37th Heat season. I haven't decided if we'll do top 36, top 37. Not sure. Probably should just do top 40, right? The top players in Miami Heat history. We're going to count them down. We're not going to do 40 different episodes, okay? But we'll break them into like five segments, I think, and we'll see where some of these guys fall. So we're going to be doing that here on Five on the Floor. I do want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends Michael, Robert, and their team, Water Cleanup of Florida. You can find them at WCUFL.com. It's WCUFL.com. They'll take you through the entire process. If you've got a leak in your home, your business, reach out to them right away so it doesn't become worse. If it does become worse, they can handle the damage assessment for you, go through everything with you, with the insurance companies, all that kind of stuff. And again, if they can't do the job, they will tell you. So check them out, Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com, based in Boca Raton, service the entire Tri-County area, almost 100 five-star reviews on Google. Again, it's WCUFL.com. Oh, by the way, I forgot. If you've got the schmutz, they got the guts. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. Come on, move! You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
All right, let's get to question three here. Would Bam moving more outside compromise their interior scoring?
That one's funny because I think it's the opposite. I think it helps their interior scoring. Just looking at the fact that this, I keep bringing it up just because I think it is going to be a base of their offense this year. Jimmy and Jaime in the mid post and mismatch hunting and all that stuff leads to really good things for this team at all times. Having the ability, I think it helps Bam and Jimmy lineups more than it helps, let's say, the thing everybody wants to see with Ware. I want to see Bam and Jimmy be able to work even smoother together offensively. And if he's able to pop out a little more, it opens up Jimmy's interior scoring. And it doesn't, just because he has the option to shoot doesn't mean he doesn't have to continually be a threat on the roll and in the paint, because that he's such a good mid-range dotted line free throw line shooter that's always going to be there. Like, that'll always be his go-to shot. I don't think he's a guy that's going to fall in love with the three. I think he's doing it in USA because he can, but I think when it comes back to reality in Miami, I think it's just going to be like an optional thing just to keep the defense honest. But I'm really intrigued with that ability and how defenses react to it, because that's kind of the key. It doesn't make a difference really if he's making them or not to begin the season. It's about how defenses are treating it, because it doesn't really make a difference to the offense if teams are still kind of dipping off him and not worried about it. But I'm interested to see how they react. And if they react a little like they're worried about it to some degree, where they're giving hard closeouts, that opens up his ability to drive and for more interior scoring and more stuff off the dribble, which I think we all want to see. I think we all want to see him kind of putting the ball down with a head of steam, putting his head down and getting to the basket. I think that opens that up. But like I said, that gives more opportunity for the stuff, like I mentioned, in that Bucks series, in that game five, where Bam's kind of playing the playmaker over the top to guys down low. It probably opens up his playmaking, like where he doesn't have to worry about that big that's kind of going to make a decision on a cutter when he's kind of playing in that hub role. If they're playing up a lot more, it opens the floor for him like a quarterback. So I think that changes a lot, to be honest. But in theory, it helps the Jimmy Bam dynamic. And that could be the difference maker alone from one roster to the next, right? Like, if you don't have new guys, your two best players being able to work off each other pretty smoothly offensively, like, that makes a difference.
Well, the biggest thing to me is decisiveness. He has to be decisive. I don't care how many threes he shoots, as long as he steps in when he takes them, when he's taking them. Like, and we've seen that in the Olympics, and he's done that around – we've done so many Bam episodes, but we keep saying this. He's done this around the best players in the world. And, like, they've given him the confidence to take those shots, and he's making those shots. You know, you get a kick out from Anthony Edwards, and you immediately go up with a three. LeBron passes to you, you immediately go up with a three. Like – okay. I mean, then we're starting to see that confidence level rise. I agree with you. I think him clearing out of there a little bit will help, because I think the weakest part of his game is the post game. Because it's always been putting the ball down towards the floor, getting it stripped. He's not strong enough down there at times. I would rather him operating outside. I'm not talking about making threes, but I am talking about putting the ball on the floor. And I'm also talking about then going to the basket as a vertical spacer and being found with lobs. That's the kind of stuff that I want to see, not necessarily him getting the ball. Or, again, we talk about it, of course, the mid-range jumper, which is his go-to, his bread and butter. Again, got to be decisive with that also from the free throw line. But the one thing I don't want to see is throw the ball into him in the post. I mean, occasionally, but like it's just not his game. I think we've kind of pigeonholed him a little bit in this way earlier in his career, and said he's got to do more of that. He's developed so many other parts of his offense. I'd rather see him go to that. All right, let's close with this. And we thank our sponsors again, Water Cleanup, Better Edge. Use the code 5 at PrizePicks, 5RSN at Better Edge. What is the best functioning lineup the Heat can put out that make it easiest for Bam and Jimmy? Give me the three players.
Oof.
Healthy.
we're kind of having like a starting slash closing lineup conversation, I feel like, with this. And here's the thing, that didn't say offensive, right? Like, that just means best lineup, because honestly, I don't think them going full offensive lineup is the best lineup for those guys.
Right.
So,
okay.
Like a guy like Haywood, I think, in my head, when I think about best lineup to put around those guys, I'm thinking about kind of closing lineups. I think they need a guy like Haywood because it puts – I don't want Jimmy in the regular season having to guard elite-level guards. I don't – it's just not what you want. If you want to see more from him and to be play in the regular season and be more of a threat offensively and all this stuff, you cannot rely on him to do that on a nightly basis. So occasionally when he does the thing where he's like, okay, I'm guarding that guy at the end of games, of course. Mm-hmm. But like for long periods of time, I think Haywood is going to be critical for that. Like he is going to be the guy that has to chase around, do a lot of the dirty work for this team to make that functional. And then we get to the backcourt and have the discussion that I feel like we've had a ton, where it's Terry, Tyler, Duncan, and it's picking between those guys. And if you're, it really feels like in some ways, not to give a cop out, but it is kind of a hot hand thing, because there's times where Duncan has it going and they do keep him out there and he plays the guys all the way through, and people start yelling that they need to sub it out, but he kind of plays through. In some ways, is it crazy to say, if we're thinking best possible functional lineup, it's Terry or Tyler with Duncan, Jimmy, Haywood, and Bam? Is that crazy? I mean,
yeah, well, I mean, to me, the very first person I'd put out there is Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're at three. Now here's the funny part about this is that we talk so much, and I talk so much about putting someone 6'9 or taller next to Bam, and then we're not doing that in what we say will be the best functioning lineup, right? Because we're not putting Jovic out there, we're not putting Ware out there, you're not putting Kevin out there. So that's the only, and I understand it, because you need Haywood to clean up some of this dirty work. And this is just what we're going to keep coming back to this season. And that's why we probably should do one of the suggested episodes. We've done the Hero Rozier thing over and over, but we should really look around the league and see if anybody else is playing two guards that small. Because I just don't, or starting them. Because I just wonder, again, we're going to keep – like it's like I feel like we're doing all these topics and we're getting back to the same place, which is Jimmy and Bam have to play. They have to play together, right? And then it's, okay, so who are you removing from the backcourt?
Okay. And I think we're going to do the same thing. We're going to do the thing where we say it's Duncan, but I think that, like, if we're saying closing lineup or best line, a lot of the time it's going to be Terry, Tyler, Jimmy, Haywood, Bam. That's going to close a lot of games this season. Like, it just is. And people are going to call. I think Jaime closes a lot more games this season because he already was. And I think that's situational. But even when Duncan had it going, he wasn't closing a lot of games.
No, I know. I know. That's true. But he also was their best. He was also was their best shooter in the fourth quarter for the majority of the season until he got hurt.
And to be fair, I made it a clutch lineup question. Like, it was the original question was about fit, and I made it that, but it was so to your point, if we're not talking clutch lamps, I think Duncan does make those guys fit, because it opens up the stuff for Jimmy and Bam together. And if we're doing strict offensive lineup, Terry, Tyler, Duncan, Jimmy, Bam?
If we're strict offensive
Bam defensive lineup, player of the year. He's going to get those blocks. He's going to get defensive player of the year. That's what we're aiming for.
I might put Jovic in and take one of the guards out. But yeah, this is again where we're going to keep heading to, and this is why Spoelstra has his work cut out. Terry and Tyler are good offensive players on their own. If I'm the Heat, I want the two of them shutting themselves in a gym, okay, for a month. And working together to see if that can be a functional starting backcourt. And because, look, I'm not taking shots at them necessarily. I watched Dwayne Wade and Goran Dragic, one Hall of Famer and one near Hall of Famer, try to do this. And it took them a couple of years before they really got comfortable. I did a piece where I talked to the two of them about how they play off of each other and all the rest of this. Being a functioning starting backcourt or closing backcourt is not easy. You have to be on the same page. And I mean, you look at the ones that have won recently, like, again, I know he struggled in the Olympics, but Jamal Murray and KCP, like, you knew what the roles were, you know what I mean? And the way they played off of Jokic and some of these others, this is going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for Spoelstra to create a good offense with this group, I think.
But I'll finish here where I'll say, I don't want to make it sound, though, like having options like this is a problem, because I feel like a lot of last year we talked about the fact that he didn't have the options. So I think it's a good problem. And it comes back to the Spo thing where he can figure things out. I want to have the problem where we're having debates about this, that the best closing lineup should have been this guy over this guy. And we're having those conversations because that means that you have decent players that are closing games. Will that be the case? I don't know. Maybe it's going to, by the time we get there, maybe it'll be five guys that we know every night are closing because other guys are not playing as well. But that's a problem I want to have. It really is. And if they can find it consistently where their guys are playing, Spo can figure out and answer these questions, because we never had the opportunity to answer any of these questions. We don't even know what a closing lineup would look like when all these guys are healthy, because they were never healthy last season. So, like, would they close with Terry and Tyler? Would Duncan be in the mix? Like, we don't know. So, it's a good problem for Spo. I'll say that.
Hold on. As I sneeze through the end of this, we know what's going to happen, right? The backcourt at the end of the game is going to be Zion Pullen and Josh Christopher, because everybody else is going to be hurt. Anyway, have a good night.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.